We'll say one quick word on the parasha. The parasha is Ki Tetzeh. There's 74 mitzvot in the parasha. That is the most of any parasha in the Torah. So there's much to say on all of the 74 mitzvot. This would be a good week to take out your Sefer HaChinuch, and it'll keep you very busy giving you interpretations to all the mitzvot. We don't have time to go through all the mitzvot in this shiur. As you know, it's Erev Shabbat. We will discuss one of the mitzvot, which is in the parasha, and that's the mitzvah of Yibum. So the pasuk writes, "Ki yeshivu achim yahdav, umet achad mehem uben en lo." So you have brothers, yeshivu achim yahdav, they were alive together. Umet achad mehem, and one of them died, uben en lo, and he's childless. Lo tiye eshet amet achutzah le'ish zar. So she really is not allowed to get married without a process. Yevama yabo aleha. So the yevama, that's the brother, the yavam, ukahalo le'isha v'yibema. It's amazing law. So he ends up has to marry his sister-in-law.
Only if she don't have children?
Yes, that's the case. Only if she doesn't have children. Baya bechor asher teled, and the firstborn that'll be born, yakum al shem achiv hamet. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, yakum al shem achiv hamet? So he says, ze sheyibem et ishto, yitol nachalat hamet benechse abiv. The one that made the yibum. He takes the nahalat is inheritance. That means the child will inherit the father, his father that passed away. Velo yimachemo b'Yisrael. So you're keeping the brother's family alive because he didn't have any children. So this is an amazing mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yibum. V'im lo yachpotz ha'ish lakachat et Yibimto. Let's say he's not interested. Ve'aleta Yibimto ha'sha'ara. She goes to the Beddin, el ha'zakyanim, ve'amera me'en Yibami. He doesn't want to make Yibum. Lakim lachiv shem b'Yisrael, doesn't want to keep his brother's name alive. Lo ava Yibami. They speak to him, they try to persuade him. Amar, I'm not interested. He wears a special shoe, and she must remove the shoe. Pasuk Tet. The yarekah befanav, and she spits in front of him. Ve'anneta ve'amera kacha yaseh la'ish asher ha'melech hafetz bikaro. Kacha yaseh la'ish asher lo yibneh et bet achiv. This is what we do to the man that does not want to build the house of his brother. Ve'nekra shemo b'Yisrael bet halutz ha'na'al. And they called this guy in Israel a new name, Bet Halutza Na'al, the one that went through the procedure of Halitza. It's a mitzvah to call him that. Halutza Na'al. This mitzvah of Yibum and the mitzvah of Halitza must be, it's very important because we have a whole masechet on it, Masechet Yibamot. It's one of the hardest masechetot. Explaining this one mitzvah, we have Taryag mitzvot. We don't have a masechet on every mitzvah. There's no masechet Shiloh HaKan. There's no masechet Kibud Abayim. There's no masechet Sha'apnez.
Yibum is one of 74 mitzvot in this parasha. We don't have a masechet for every single mitzvah. But when it comes to Yibum, already the Hakamim said this must be an item. And therefore they spoke about it a lot. Do I have a choice, or are you just going to ask it?
I'm going to ask the rabbi those kind of things.
You asked, can I ask a question? You didn't wait for me to answer you. So it means I don't have a choice. So you might as well ask.
He
asked me, can I ask a question? I didn't answer him, but he asked anyway. So just ask. Why ask him? They have money, they can do whatever they want.
Is there a penalty? Rabbi, is there a penalty for not doing
Yibum? Okay, we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see.
My bad.
Okay, anyway. If we would interrupt Acham Baruch like that in the olden days, we wouldn't do it, but today it's a different generation. Anyway, the Pasuk over here is telling us that if he doesn't want to make the Yibum, which is a big mitzvah, so then you need to do some sort of procedure to break the what the Gemara calls Zika. There's a Zika. The sister-in-law and the brother-in-law are connected. By the death, something happens. There's a bond. So either you finish the bond by making Yibum, or you break it by doing Halitza, but you can't not do anything. You have to do something. The guy can't just say, okay, listen, I'm not interested, kol tuv. No. Without being done a procedure, she cannot get remarried. She's stuck. It's almost like a divorce. If a lady's married, she needs a divorce. This lady is quasi-married. Who's she married to? She's married to the brother-in-law. By means of what? By the means of the kiddushin that her husband gave. When the husband gives kiddushin, in that kiddushin, it does two things. Number one, it's mekadesh her to the husband. And it also creates a zikah. That if he dies, that kiddushin already bonds him to the brother. So therefore there's already a... Huh?
She don't have to...
No, she's bound already. She's bound by the kiddushin. That's what I'm telling you. The kiddushin of the first guy does two things. Number one, it binds him to him, and it binds him to his brother in the event that...
In case of emergency.
He dies, in the case of emergency, exactly. So that's what happens as well. But in the event that he doesn't want to do this, so we don't have a get in this case. There's no get. The Torah says that he must make what's called halitza. Halitza is a very, very, very strange procedure, Rabotai. Very hard to understand this procedure. The Torah says that you have to have a shoe. And you take the shoe and you put it on the brother-in-law. He has to wear it. And then she has to come along and she has to untie the shoe. And she has to take off the shoe. Special shoe. Special shoe. The halakha gives special specifications of such a shoe. Alav Shalom El Safti. Hakam Yosef told him at the time, the Beit Din needs shoes for halitza. He has originals. He went to China. And he made few shoes for a few specs. They still use his shoe today in the Beit Din. He has originals shoe on the bottom. Anyway, the Mefarshim...
So in this day and age, that procedure is still being...
100%. 100%. 100%. According to the Sefer HaDin, we make Yibum also. Which is both procedures apply. If he wants to make Yibum, he can make Yibum. If he wants to break it... I've been in a few Halitza ceremonies. We've had it. And I sat on the Beit Din. You need five rabbis to sit on the Beit Din for Halitza. And we sat on the Beit Din. We watched it. We proceeded. It's a whole story. The question is, what is the significance of this law? Torah doesn't really tell us what is the significance of taking off the shoe. What does that do for anybody? You want to get a divorce? Get a divorce. Write a paper. Listen, I'm not interested. Give her the paper. Or let him verbalize it. Say, listen, I don't want to marry you. I have my own problems with my own wife. I don't need a second wife. Especially it's a sister-in-law. It's a sister-in-law, not interested. You know, already she killed his brother. So maybe, you know, maybe it could happen again. He doesn't want to take a chance. Whatever the reason is. He doesn't want to support a second wife. Whatever the reason is. So let him say, I'm out. So, no. There's no such thing, I'm out. Get the shoe. What am I getting the shoe over here? Different interpretations have been said in the concept of what this shoe is. Rabbeinu Bachya is very interesting. Rabbeinu Bachya says, Al derech ha-pshat. No Kabbalah. Al derech ha-pshat. Beta'a mitzvat yibum. Kedesh yishair ha-mamon bebet ha-met. Velo yimshol zar al ishto val nechasav. Kenyan shekatuv lo tiyeh eshet ha-met ha-chutza li-izar. Ki baze omdim da'ato shel met, ki hu rotze shiyimshol achiv al nechasav. Val ishto yoter me'acher. The practical. Why do you have to make yibum? The guy died. He has millions of dollars. Now, the brother, if you'd ask him if he would be alive, he'd say, listen, that's a lot of money. I don't want it to go to a stranger. Now my wife's going to get married to a stranger. She takes all my money. And it goes now, the izar. And all of a sudden, some stranger becomes rich from all the money. So he says he'd rather keep his money in the family. Stay to his wife, stay to his brother. At least it's all the same thing. So you're doing him a chesed. And he doesn't have any children. So therefore, let it stay. So that's the inyan of the yibum. Ze tam yibum. Ve tam halitza. So what's the time of the halitza? Ki kol zeman shayabam rotze liyabem, ineu mikayem zera la'achiv. Ve nir'e ki ilu achiv hay. It's amazing. That means, it's a tremendous chesed that the yabam does. A person... The Gemara says, who doesn't have children is Hashuv Kamet. So this guy over here, he died twice. He died physically, and he died because they didn't have children. So the inyan of the Yibum is what? In order to give the deceased at least one life. You cannot bring him back to life. You cannot make the Hayat HaMetim. But at least to give him life. How? By having a child. That child is really connected to the deceased. Because the only reason why he came into the world is because of Yibum. That means his death caused this man to get married to his sister-in-law and have a child. So who brought the child into the world really? Who was the cause of it? The deceased. So therefore the Torah says that child that's born, the Bechor, is connected to the Met. As if you're keeping the legacy of the Met alive. So in a certain sense, you didn't kill him. You kept him alive. Which means, imagine if somebody could say, you could do Tihayat HaMetim. Tihayat HaMetim, okay, I'm not a Navi. You can do it. The mitzvah of Yibum is Me'en Tihayat HaMetim. You're giving the deceased a legacy. Everybody says, who's this kid? Oh, this is the kid from the Yibum. Ah, that's the kid. Wow. We remember his mother who he was married to. That's the brother. Oh, we remember his father. We remember the whole thing. That's why we said many times from the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the child that's born is really considered like the child of the deceased. Biologically, it's not. Biologically, he's the child of the parents that he has. But spiritually, he's really considered the child of the deceased. And what was the proof that we gave? Yulad ben Naomi. Mahlon was married to Ruth. Mahlon. But let's talk about Mahlon for a second. Mahlon was married to Ruth. And what happened? Mahlon died. So now you have Ruth. What happens, Ruth? She's standing now for Yibum. Who made the Yibum on Ruth? Boaz. It's a far Yibum, but it's a Yibum of the olden days that they did with relatives. He picked her up and he married her. As a result, they now have a child. The child is Peretz. But the Pasuk says that after Ruth and Boaz had a child, the Pasuk writes, V'tekrena lo hashichenot shem. The neighbors came along and said, Mabruk, yulad ben le Naomi. Naomi had a child. Naomi, it should say, yulad ben le Rut. What is yulad ben le Naomi? Who was Naomi's son? Mahlon. So therefore, when the child is born, it's as if Mahlon is coming back. You're giving Mahlon another chance to come back now. So therefore they say, yulad ben le Naomi. So there's a connection between this child and the deceased. That means originally what happens is that first the wife was married to this guy as a husband, and then the husband becomes the child of the wife. Her husband eventually becomes her child. You understand? Which means they were married. She was married to Mahlon. Ruth was married to Mahlon. When Ruth married Boaz, Ruth now becomes the mother of Mahlon.
Do you have to name after the deceased?
Sometimes they name it after the deceased as well. But the point is, the neshama is connected. And you're giving the neshama now...
That's what it says here.
Read it.
However, the newborn does become the successor of the dead man's soul, so that a spiritual being is perpetuated.
Hazak Baruch. So that's exactly the point. So there's a big sod in the inyan of Yibum over here. You're not only keeping the money in the family. That's the physical thing. You're keeping the soul, giving him, because he died young. So you're giving him a chance to exist. Oh, but what if a guy doesn't want to make Yibum? God doesn't like Yibum, so it's a little cruel. Because this neshama needs to, it died young. This neshama needs to perpetuate itself. The brother, it's your brother. You don't want to do a chesed to your brother. So the Torah comes along and says, by not making Yibum, you're actually killing your brother a second time. Your brother died already. Now you had a chance to resurrect him. You had a chance to bring him back, to let him have an existence. Instead, what? You said, I'm not interested. So therefore, the Torah says, you're a cruel guy, you don't want to make Yibum. In the olden days, even today, what's the first thing a person does when he comes back from the cemetery after he's burying one of the relatives? First thing he does, he washes his hands, he goes to the bathroom, maybe does a Purell. What else does he do when he comes back?
Goes somewhere and buys something.
What else does he do? All the trivial stuff. Maybe he scratches his head, maybe puts it in his pocket.
He's missing
the main one. He takes off his shoes.
You do?
That's what you do. Baruch Hashem, you forgot when your mother passed away. You forgot. Bela Tashbi, you forgot. When your mother passed away, you could not wear leather shoes.
Oh, what
are we talking about?
I thought you were visiting 2 years later.
I tell you, your mother passed away. Which means you take off the shoe.
Right.
They take off the shoe. The taking off the shoe is a sign of avelut. So therefore, when this guy over here, this is your brother. Already his brother died. He sat already, Shiva, for his brother. He sat already for his brother. He sat. Now they tell him, you can bring him back alive again. Bring him back alive. Do the mitzvah of Yibum. How can I bring him back alive? You'll bring his neshama back. You let Ben Naomi, the neshama of the deceased, will come back into the world. Give him a chance. He only lived a short life. By bringing him back, you give him a chance now to live more. And I'm not interested. You're not interested? Then take off your shoes again. Make avilut again. Because you just killed your brother again. Sit avilut again. Take off the shoes. This is me'en avilut again. That's not what I'm saying. Rabbeinu Bachya says. I quote Rabbeinu Bachya. Ki kol zeman shayabam rotze liyabem, הנה הוא מקיים זרע לאחיו, ונראה כאילו אחיו חי. If he continues perpetuating his brother's legacy, it's like his brother's alive. וכשאינו מייבם, ואינו מקיים זרע לאחיו, נראה שאחיו מת. Now you put the nail in your brother's coffin, ונראה שצריך הוא שיתאבל עליו. Now you have to make אבלות again. ולכך היבמה תחלוץ לו המנעל. Take off the shoe, שהוא סימן אבלות. כאילו מתאבל על אחיו המת. So that's the sword of the shoe. It's not a sword. He said that's pshat. He's not giving any Kabbalah on this over here. That's the pshat. We explained yet another way to explain the inyan of the inyan of the shoe. The Zohar HaKadosh talks extensively about the ability that a child has regarding elevating his father's soul. More than anybody else, the child could do what nobody else can do. What a child can do for his father, even the chief rabbi of Israel cannot do. If you tell the chief rabbi of Israel, do a zechut for Ploni ben Ploni, it does not have the same effect if the child would do the same thing. The child has that element. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Kaved et avicha ve et imecha, mechabedo behayav, mechabedo bemoto. That kibud av ha'em is not a mitzvah as long as the parent is alive. Kibud av ha'em is as long as the child is alive. As long as the child is alive, you can fulfill kibud av ha'em. And the Gemara says that greater is the kibud av ha'em after the parent passes. Because now you're giving him an elevation in Olam Haba. In this world, you can only benefit him physically. You give him something to eat, you take him to a doctor, something like that. In Olam Haba, already you're giving him, when he's there, a spiritual elevation, you're saving him from the onashim. So therefore, kibud av ha'em is always. Oh, to that, the Gemara says, Bera kira de abu. What does that mean, Bera kira de abu? The child is the leg of the father. What does it mean, Bera kira de abu? The child is the leg of the father?
No,
he keeps going up. Oh, Hazak baruch. Hazak baruch. So the Mefarshim explain it like this. What's the function of a leg? To walk, to move. If I need to climb a mountain, so what do I have to do? You need legs. You cannot climb it without legs. Now, when a person's alive, he's able to climb spiritually. How does he climb spiritually? He does mitzvot. So I don't need help. I can do it myself. I put on my tefillin, I put on my talit, I go learn Torah, I give tzedakah. I can move myself, I don't need any assistance. After a person passes away, now he cannot move anymore. B'metim chofshi. Kevan shemet na'aseh chofshi min ha-mitzvot. You cannot do any mitzvot. There's no mitzvot in Olam Haba. Whatever you have, you have. And you cannot advance yourself, at least on your own. You cannot advance yourself. Technically, the legs of a person, which means the spiritual legs of a person, are paralyzed by man at death. Not only physically, but spiritually, he cannot move anymore. Im yiten ish et kol hon beto b'haba. Bozhe bozulo. In Olam Haba, you can give all the money, bozhe bozulo, it's too late. You should have gave it when you were alive. However, the Hakamim say that the mitzvah that the child does, that gives the father mobility. That means now the father uses the legs of the child to move. And that's what it means when they say, Bera kira de abu. The child becomes the leg of the father, which means the spiritual legs. That means now the father moves, but he cannot move on his own. Who moves him? The son becomes the legs. Which means the son does mitzvot, Le'ilu Nishmat, Avraham ben Sarah. All of a sudden the father's moving. They say, magic, he has no legs. How's he moving? With the son's leg. But these legs over here, he's able to lift him up. It's a big thing. If he does Averot in memory of his father, you mean? If he learned those Averot from his father, then yes. If he's doing regular Averot and it's not his father's fault, then no. But some things the father maybe had bad habits. And the child is doing those things and the Hashem says, oh, you taught him this. So I just know that it goes to his discredit. But Berakira de Abu, the child lifts it up. One time Acham Baruch was walking and he saw one guy and he didn't like this guy too much. When Acham Baruch didn't like a guy, that's it, you're finished, you don't have a chance. If he liked you, he liked you. He gave you a courtesy. If he didn't like you, it's on the X list, it's finished. So I was walking with him once on Avenue S. Comes a guy in front of him. I see the rabbi's already, his face changes. He doesn't like the guy. Although the rabbi liked this guy's father. The guy's father was a good guy. So the guy comes to the Chacham, and the Chacham's cold to him. So the kid's trying to get into favor of the rabbi. He's Chacham Berakira de Abu. The child is the leg of the father, which means honor me because of my father. He's like the rabbi. He's saying Berakira de Abu. He knew it. He's a smart kid. He says Berakira de Abu. The child is the leg of the father. He says, I remember your father had a limp. He says, your father used to limp. If you're his leg, the limp, you're the leg of the father. Because the guy was a wise guy. He's trying to get the rabbi to give him kavod. Anyway, so you see over here, yeah, what are you going to do? This is what it is. David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, before he passed away, so he called his son Shlomo, and he gives him his last will and testament. That's called the Sava'ah. So it says he gives the Sava'ah to his son. Vaitzavehu gives him a Sava'ah. What's the Sava'ah? Pasuk says he tells his son Shlomo, Hine anochi holech bederech kol ha'aretz. He says, Hine anochi holech bederech kol ha'aretz. V'tchazakta v'hita le'ish. I want you to be a man. So the Mefarshim say, hold it, he's giving him a tzava'ah. The tzava'ah should be, if you were writing the pasuk, I would write the pasuk like this. V'hi David zaken, והיה הולך בדרך כל הארץ ויומר לשלמה בנו ויצווהו ותחזקת ויתה לאיש. Why is the part of the צבאה that he tells him הנני הולך בדרך כל הארץ? That's not the צבאה, he's not telling him anything but that. By telling him הנני הולך בדרך כל הארץ, that's not a last will and testament, that's a fact. If a person comes to the son, I want to give you my last will and testament. What is it? I'm dying. That's less one testament. That's not less one testament. What's the will? So the Mefarshim say no. David HaMelech was saying to his son, listen, I lived 70 years. Whatever I accomplished, I accomplished. But I'm telling you that I'm not done yet. I want to go to Olam Abba, and I want to continue to move. So therefore, Shlomo, you're the key. So Vaitzavehu, he commanded him and he said, Hineni holech bederech kol ha'aretz. I still want to be a holech. That's a commandment, he's telling him. I still want, and therefore, v'tchazakta v'hita le'ish. You better be an ish, because if I'm telling you I want to be holech, I don't want to go to Olam Haba and they tell me that's it. It's stagnant. You can't move anymore. So therefore he says, I'm telling you, you must make your father a holech. Therefore, it's incumbent upon you to do the mitzvot like I taught you, la'ilu neshama, in order that I can go up. I told you once, sometimes you speak above the level of the people, and it backfires against you. I have no problem. They once asked me to speak at Shloshim, wealthy man, maybe the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest men in the community. He lost his mother. So he said, Hakam, come give his bid. So I went to give the his bid. I knew the lady. I knew her well, and with all her grandchildren. So I said, Mrs. So-and-so, I have one thing to say regarding her. I said, but please, Rabotai, let me explain it. Give me the benefit of the doubt. Don't jump down my throat until I explain myself. I said, Mrs. So-and-so, I guarantee she will not rest in peace. Quiet. One, that was a piece. I explained. I said, this rest in peace is a goyim thing.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Maza rest in peace, Asher Tevot. Yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace. But the Gemara says, Sadiqim en hem minuha. Lo ba'olam hazeh, velo olam abba. What does it mean? Rest in peace means you're stagnant. They gave you your halek, then you're there. But the Sadiqim, their children are always doing more mitzvot. And therefore, they're never resting. Because they, every week or every month, however the, you know, the accounting goes, they tell the person, move up. What do you mean? I just got comfortable. You want to live on East 42nd Street or you want to live on East 3rd? Oh, East 3rd. No. How old? Was East 3rd Street. You moved to East 3rd Street. And now you want to live in the building or you want to live in a private house? A private house. Now you want to live in the mansion? But they keep on moving them higher. So therefore, we don't... So I said, I suspect the kids were big Ba'alei Tzedakah. I suspect that Mrs. So-and-so will not rest in peace. Now, it was understood. Everybody understood it because I was clear. At the time you say it, it's clear. But you know how it is. Then, as the time goes on, Ba'aden, two other speakers come along and all that. All of a sudden, they forget the Hiddush. They just remember. The rabbi said that our mother should not rest in peace. But at the time, they all... They got it. But the shikha is so strong in the brains of the people. So one of the kids came to me after, he says, did I understand you correctly? He said, my mother should rest in peace or should not rest in peace? So I'm a hakam. I said, should not rest in peace. Oh, that's what we thought you said. He said, well, what kind of, we never heard this before. I said, no, but I explained it. I explained it before. Say it again. So I'm not going to say it again to every single guy. So I learned from there. Sometimes don't be so cute. Yes. Just give them an easy dirash. Rest in peace. Good for luck. After, when they forgot the dirash, when they forgot the hadush, they just remembered the not rest in peace. You know something? You're speaking too deep for them. Speak on Amma Aris level. Tell them a joke and they're happy. These guys, that's all they want to be. Tell them a joke. Oh, he's a good rabbi. Anyway, that's what I meant.
You gave
anyway.
Them a compliment, they took it as hammering.
No, but they took it as a compliment when I said it. But they forgot the dirash. They just remembered he said, don't rest in peace. Why would he say that about our mother? Why would he say that about our mother? Anyway, so comes out according to this. So, hinini olech, bederech kol ha'aretz. I want to be olech. That's what David HaMelech was saying. So anyway, so now what happens? This guy over here, he passed away young. So like we learned, when the brother makes the yibum, the child over there is connected to the deceased. This guy over here, Hazit, when he died, who's going to lift him? Who's going to lift him? There's nobody. He has no children. He has no children to bring him to the next levels. So therefore, the Torah says, Yabu, make yibum over here, so you'll have a child, so this child, zikuyot, can elevate the deceased. The guy comes along and says, Me'en yibami. I'm not interested in doing it. So they come along, but who's going to be the legs? Who's going to be the legs? I'm not interested. So what does the Torah say? Take off the shoe. When a person takes off the shoe, he can't walk. So the Torah is giving the guy musar. Midah keneged midah. You don't want to let the deceased walk. Hineni holech. Now go try walk. Wow. Take the shoe off. Go somewhere. Could you walk anywhere now? There's a musar to the guy as if he's delinquent in this mitzvah. So we'll explain the spitting in a second. No spitting. There's a third interpretation that we once explained as well. And this is explained by the Maharshan in Masechet Yibamot, as well as the Be'er Yosef of Yosef Salant in this week's Parasha. What's the inyan of the Na'al? There's a halakha in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Rama, Shalom Aleichem. The Rama writes, HaMenhag Lomar, Nesh Kav Gima, Lemi Shelovesh Beget Hadash, Tebale V'Tethadesh. A person buys a new garment. They tell him, "Tebalei v'tethadesh." What do they mean to say? Wear it out and get a new one. It's a nice word. Mysteries. Wear it out and then you'll get another one. Tebalei v'tethadesh. This is a different custom. This is saying, "Tebalei v'tethadesh." Use it good and then you'll get a new one.
Live a long life.
With you. Something like that. V'yesh mi shekatav. She'en lomar ken al min alim. He says, but when it comes to shoes, you don't say it on that. Or begadim ha'na'asim me'orot shel behema. Or anything that's made out of leather. leather shoes over there. The guy gets a nice leather belt. You don't tell him to tchadesh mitetbaleh. You don't say that.
Some people have the custom not to give shoes away.
Correct. We're not just saying everything about shoes now. We're focusing on a specific item. You know, you have a lawyer. He's your lawyer.
Yeah.
You found the best defense lawyer. This guy, man. That's how mean it me know. So now you have over here. Now you have over here belt. So you don't say anything. Tithadish with the belt. Don't say anything. Why? The imkain ayusidikim lahamid beema acheret tehila shihadesh bevena beged acher. Because you have to kill an animal to get the leather. You have to kill an animal. So you're telling the guy, let this one wear out, and you get a new one. You get a new one. You have to kill another cow. Uchtiv rachamav al kol ma'asav. Rachamav al kol ma'asav. So therefore, you don't say to the guy, remember you had leather pants when you were young.
Yes.
Good. So now I see you wearing your leather pants. Tell the guy, okay, very good, but don't tell the guy to tchadish mitetbaleh, because you're gonna have to kill another zebra, whatever it is, in order to make the other pants. But on regular wool, you're not killing any animals, so therefore you can say to tchadish mitetbaleh. That's why, by the way, the custom is we don't say shehayanu on the tefillin. Why? Because it's all on the talit. You can make shechayan, but you can't say shechayan. You had to kill an animal. So it was some say because you had to kill Abraham. So therefore, you don't say shechayan. Anyway, comes the Rama and writes, "Ve'ineh atam halush me'od." He says this reason halush me'od. Ve'enu le'eh. He says, but I don't see the reason. Why can't you say that hadesh on leather? You have to kill animals, by the way. We kill animals all day long to eat, don't we? All of a sudden, v'rahamavah kol ma'asav. So when a guy's eating a steak, don't tell sahten. What about the animal? So he doesn't like the reason, but he doesn't give us an option. But people are makpid not to say it by shoes. So I'm not going to change the minhag, but I'm not too comfortable with the reason. That's what he says in Rama. So the explanation might be like this in Rama. There's a rabbi called Nefesh Chaim. The Nefesh Chaim is Rav Chaim Balazhin. He says a phenomenal Hiddush. He writes that when we talk about a shoe, the purpose of a shoe is in order to be a house for the foot. The foot is the main item, but you cannot have it exposed. So therefore, what do? We create a protection for the foot that's on the outside, and the inside is the foot itself. He said, what's the mashal to a shoe? The mashal to a shoe is really the body to the neshama. The main thing of a person is what? Is neshama. That's inside. So what does God do? He makes a shoe for the neshama. What's the shoe for the neshama? The body. The body to the neshama is the same mashal to the foot to a leather shoe. And the body is also made out of leather. The skin of a person is like a leather shoe. Borei Olam says you have to cover it. He comes along and says even deeper. He says, why did Borei Olam make it that we put the shoe on the foot? He said, wait, where are we going to put him? I don't know, maybe you put like gloves, maybe put them on your hands. I don't know if you had a custom. Maybe put the shoe on your head. What is this inyan over here that at the end of the body, where the feet is, that's where you put the shoe? So he says, a big hiddush. Oh, no, he says, part of the neshama is there. He says that really the shoe only covers part of the body. The last part of the body. He said, really, the neshama of the Jew is very, very big. The part that's inside of you is the last part of the neshama. The rest of the neshama already is in shamayim. There's another helik of the neshama. So therefore, that which your body is covering the neshama, it's only covering a helik of the neshama. That means there's always a parallel neshama in shamayim. That every time you do something over here, the neshama in shamayim gets affected by it. So therefore he says, the covering of the foot is hinting that just like the shoe only covers part of the body only covers part of the neshama, the rest of the neshama is in the olamot ha'alyonim. Now, if that's the case, that the na'al represents the body, that's another way of saying a body. We can either call the body a guf, or we could call a body a na'al. Again, it's the outer layer. With this, we explained once, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to the burning bush. At that point over there, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sees him for the first time at the burning bush, Shal na'alecha ma'al naglecha. He tells him, take off your shoes. What is it? He's in the airport? What does he have to take off his shoes for over here? There was no Arabs over there. There was no TSA. Moshe Rabbeinu probably had the TSA. He'd have to take off his shoes. He probably had the card. So what does it mean over here when he says, Shal na'alecha ma'al naglecha? One way we explained it once, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Eve mitchamem keneged uram shel hakamim, that you should always warm yourself next to the fire of the hakamim. You have to imagine the rabbi is like a fireplace, and the world is a cold place. So you want to warm yourself up, so go sit next to the hakamim. Eve mitchamem keneged uram shel hakamim. However, the Mishnah says, "Beve zahir begahalatan shelo tekaveh." Don't get too close, because you might get burnt. Just like a fireplace, you have to sit a certain degree. If you sit too far, it's cold. You sit too close, you get burnt. So therefore, "Eve mitchamem beve zahir begahalatan shelo tekaveh." Why? The Mishnah goes on to say, "Shenishichatan nishichat nahash va'akitzatan akitzat akrab." Because Chas v'Shalom, if the rabbi stings, he stings. If the rabbi bites, he bites like a scorpion. And if the rabbi hisses, it's like the hiss of a fiery snake. So therefore, the Hakamim say, the Mishnah says, beware. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is getting a job. He's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a stubborn nation, they're tough people. Every Monday and Thursday they're complaining. It's a thankless job. Take us back to Egypt. We don't like the menu. We don't like the food. They're always complaining one thing or the other. Moshe Rabbeinu, to take this job, has to have a lot of patience. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu wants, in 1 second, he'll curse the guy, he dies. The other guy, Hayrem. Another guy, Shofar. Another guy, before you know it, you don't have a minyan. Look what he did to Korah, as an example. Korah started up with Moshe Rabbeinu. In 1 second, the ground opened up, swallowed him, his family, his children, his money, he's finished. He's still screaming under the ground, Moshe Emet. If Moshe Rabbeinu wants to sting, he has the sting. He can go along and... But what? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, to be a Jewish leader, you can't do that. Leave your weapons outside. So he tells him, Shal na'alecha. Take off your na'al. Na'al reshetevot. Neshicha akitza lechisha. Shal na'alecha. If you're going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, you cannot have the shichat nahash and akitzat akrab and ishat sarab. Shal na'alecha. You have to divest yourself from the na'al, meaning you have to be patient with Klal Yisrael. This is one of the hachamim. I'll get back to you. But what we said, based on what we're learning today, Moshe Rabbeinu is now about to rise to a new level. Till now, he was a shepherd. All of a sudden now, he's going to the next madriga. God tells him, from Yitziat Mitzrayim, you're going to meet me back at this mountain. This mountain was Har Sinai. The snare was Har Sinai. You're going to come back to this mountain, and you're going to come up the mountain. And you're going to get the Torah. And on those days, when you receive it, you're not going to be a human being anymore. Your body is not going to be a body. Because a body needs to eat and drink. But there's going to come a point, Moshe Rabbeinu, where you're not going to have a body interfering with your neshama. Your neshama is going to be so strong that the body is not going to be... So you're going to be able to eat and drink spirituality. You're not going to need to eat anything physical or drink anything physical. So God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Shal na'alecha me'al daglecha. Take off the na'al off of your foot. What is the symbolism? Take your physical body. Remove your physical body. Remove it. The na'al is the body. Once you remove the shoe, what's exposed? The foot. God says to Moshe, Shalna alecha, remove your body. Your body has to be removed in order to take this position. You have to be all soul. And that's what does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life? At the end of his life it says, Bezot ha-beracha asher berach Moshe, Isha Elohim. They call him Isha Elohim. The Gemara says, Mechetzio ulmata ish. Mechetzio ulma'ala Elohim. Already Moshe Rabbeinu was able to transfer himself to an angel. Nafi na'al. Shalna alecha. That's why at the end, when the Jewish people were complaining about water, So what happened? So Moshe Rabbeinu gets nervous. He gets nervous with the people. Shimon HaMorim hits the rock. God says, that's it. You can't go into Eretz Yisrael. So I went to an explanation that we always look at it as a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. He got nervous and so on. So explanation is, they say, what happened in the beginning? In Parashat Beshalach, they also ran out of water. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do in those days? He got them the water, he got them the thing, he took the stick, he put it in the water, he figured it out. This time he got nervous. What's the explanation? As Moshe Rabbeinu was becoming more spiritual, therefore he couldn't relate to water. What are you complaining about? Who needs water? We don't need water, just go learn. God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, it's time to come up already. You succeeded. If you can understand when someone's asking for water, it doesn't, that would be the student in the yeshiva comes to Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi, can we have lunch? Lunch? A new lunch? Okay, that's it. You cannot be Rosh Hashiva anymore. The kids are going to starve. You're on too high level. You need somebody that can still relate to eating. So Moshe Rabbeinu had that inyan of Shalna Alecha, the separation of the... Now we go back to the Mitzvah Yibum. This guy was married. Okay, good luck to him. He was married. And then he died. Now, once he dies, what happens to his body? His body is gone. It decays. Like we know today in Daf Yomi. The body decays, the flesh decays, and finished. What's left? Spirit. His neshama. The Torah comes along and says to the brother of the deceased, bring him back. Give him a chance. How can I bring him back? I'm not the Houdini. Marry his wife, and you'll be able to bring him back. But what is he missing? You don't have to bring back his neshama. His neshama is there. He needs a body. He needs a body. Because we cannot bring neshama down without a body. And how can I bring him a body? You marry the sister, you present the physical body, and that neshama can go inside. And he comes along and says what? Me'en. I'm not interested. So Torah says, you're not interested in giving this neshama a body? So what do? They take off his shoe. Because the shoe represents the body. You're not interested in making this inyan over here? So they give him a musar. They say, it's you taking off the shoe of the guy. Just like a foot cannot function without a shoe on it, so too a neshama cannot function in Olam Hazeh without a body. So we separate the na'al, because that's what the guy ultimately is doing. He doesn't want to give his brother a chance to come back down in a physical way. If that's the case, we also understand now this Rama that we said originally. The Rama said that when a person gets a new shirt, you tell him, "Tithadesh v'tithmaleh," wear it well. Elliot, you're closing your eyes or you're up? It looks like hold. It's my pleasure. Thank you for interrupting. So he says over here, Hadush like this. Tithadesh v'tithmaleh. On something that's made out of leather, like a shoe, we don't say Tithadesh v'tithmaleh. Why? Because the shoe always represents the body. So imagine we would tell a guy who's living, we tell the guy, Tithbaleh, wear yourself out and Tithadesh. You tell the guy, you mashimka, what do you mean Tithadesh? It should happen to your grandmother. What are you telling me over here? What kind of talk is that? You're telling me I should wear out? Since the shoe represents the body, so it could be that's why the Rama says when it comes to shoes, when it comes to the min'al, you don't say titbaleh. Because the min'al represents the goof. And therefore you're not going to say titbaleh on the goof. That it could be a reconciliation. Anyway.
That's the animal. It's the animalistic.
Mediyuk, the physical part of him. The physical part of him. So that already is the third explanation of why we take off the shoe. Now also we mentioned.
He has nine explanations on
the shoe. I once was in the Halitza ceremony. And in the middle of the ceremony, the rabbi that was there, he whispered in my ear, he said, Hakam Eliyahu, before we start the actual shoe, go there and open the window. I said, okay, I thought the rabbi, it was in the winter. It was 4 below 0 outside. And the room was cold already. Just open the window, what was it, going to freeze them out over there? So I went and opened the window. As I'm opening the window, the other rabbi said, hey, close the window. I'm not opening the window. I do anything on my own. I asked the rabbi. The rabbi said to open the window. I'm doing it. Well, I'm not in charge. Since when did I become the window? You ever see me open a window or close a window? I'm opening it because the rabbi said. So they turned to the rabbi. Acham, bedded booze. He says, I know what I'm doing. Just leave the window open. Finished. After the ceremony, I learned with the rabbi. Hakam, explain to me what you were doing. He shows me the Chida. The Chida is quoting from the Mekubbalim. There's three people present at the Halitza ceremony. The brother-in-law with the shoe on, the sister-in-law, and the neshama of the deceased neshama. And he's waiting for Yibum. He's hoping the guy's going to change his mind and say, no, I'll make Yibum. Now all of a sudden, the ceremony, what happens is she spits in front of him. Halfon asks, what's the significance of spitting? Explanation is, like Joey said, what are we asking from this guy? We're asking for a $1 million donation to the yeshiva. We're asking him to give us a little zera, so we can make a child. He doesn't even want to give a little zera. So we spit on the floor like the zera. Wow. We tell you, even this, you won't even give us a drop of zera to do this chesed to your brother. Man, I'm not interested. So the neshama over there is betza'ar. The neshama over there sitting and says, sees his brother, you won't help me out. Just do the mitzvah. And all of a sudden it says, once already the shoe's off, the neshama leaves. Therefore, you have to leave the window open to give him a chance to escape. Otherwise, like the exorcist, the window will break. Like you saw, this is heebie-jeebie. So now, slowly you sit there next to Gabe, he'll throw you under the bus in 1 second. He'll throw you under the bus, Aziz. You sit next to him, you're in trouble. No mercy. Egyptian, everything, under the bus, like nothing. Like nobody's business. I can give you 70 reasons. So that's the inyan of opening the window. Now the inyan of opening the window. The shama has to leave. But now we want to explain now al piya musar the inyan of the yibum, because there's a big significance in the inyan of the yibum. I want to say it as clear as I know how to say it. Now in the month of Elul, Rabbeinu Ari writes that in the month of Elul, there is manifest the 13 midot of Rahamim. That's why we say Yag Midot every day in the Selichot, Yag Midot, Yag Midot. The 13 midot are strongest in the month of Elul. What is this sod of the 13 midot? Is it just that you say, some say, yeah, just by saying it, you just have to say it, and God remembers. But the rabbi called to be Moshe Cordovero, in his great sefer called Tomer Devorah, He says it's deeper than that. He says the 13 midot of Rahamim are ways that God behaves towards the world. Every midah is a way God relates to us. The problem is the midot are closed. They're off, they're on off. All the midot are on off. It is our job to turn them on. We have a switch to turn on each midah. That's why it's important to learn what the midot are and then learn how you turn them on. The Ramak's opinion is as follows. The way you turn on a midah is by behaving like that midah. That means when a human being acts like that midah, then you have what we call resonance. When you have two sounds that are on the same pitch, you go like sometimes you ever see when maybe a car comes down the block or something, all of a sudden the dresser starts to shake. Your truck comes in. What is that? There's resonance. That means you hear the same pitch of the truck is connected to the same pitch over there that's in the house, and all of a sudden it makes the same noise. You do that in science. You could hit a bell, and all the other bells in the room that have the same frequency will chime as well. It wakes it up. Huzair bin Ya'ur. That's the law of resonance. Anyway, the same thing when it comes to the midot. When you hit the frequency of that midah, it arouses that frequency in heaven. And all of a sudden you hear the same notes coming down. So one of the midot, which is one of the most important midot, is the midah that's called the Sh'erit Nahalato. These were said by the prophet Micha. Mi el kamocha nose avon ve'over al pesha l'sh'erit nahalato lo azik la'ad apo ki afes chesedu yashuv yir'amenu, etc. V'tashlik v'msulot yam kol hatotam. Anyway, one of the midot is called l'sh'erit nahalato. What does this mean, l'sh'erit nahalato? Nahalato means the nahala, where God's nahala, where God's people. She'erit comes from the Hebrew word she'er basar. She'er basar means, no, not that's nish'ar. She'er basar means a relative. Ki'im nish'ero hakarov elav. Ish el kol she'ero. Lo tigalel legalot erva. Which means, the midah of the she'erit nahalato means, is God relates to the Jewish people not as a nation. He relates to us as His relative. As if we are family. As if we have some sort of bond. What's the benefit when this midah is activated? Because when it comes to family, we give courtesies. A father, even though his son doesn't behave, but because it's his son, the father will always defend him. He'll always... No. The Sh'erit Nahalato. Don't change the midah. No, we're in the Sh'erit Nahalato. I'm not explaining Erech HaPav. Erech HaPav is a different midah. The Sh'erit Nahalato is that... Bediuk, which is okay. Nepotism is okay. Which means that's a natural concept where you're going to protect your family. If somebody's going to come and speak against a stranger, good luck to him. Somebody speaks about your child, by the way, you jump up. Hey, what are you talking about? Kill him. That's my son. Yeah, but you get angry at your son also. I can get angry at him, but I'm his father. Who are you to get angry over here? We're overprotective of our beloved ones. That's she'erit. So God says, how can I get angry at them? After all, they are she'eru basar. They're my family. Now when you activate this midah, it's a tremendous item, because even though we have averot, but we sneak in. We sneak in because we get the family and friends, like you get from the store. Family and friends, they give you 1% off. So the same thing over here. 40% off. The point is, you sneak in. You get in from Shahid Nahalato. How do you activate this? You have to activate it. The activation of this midah is incredible. When a Jewish person treats all Jewish people as if it's his family, you have a guy in Eretz Yisrael. He's a hungry guy. So what do I have to do with him? I have nothing to do with him. This guy, Joey Habert, sends us an email every couple of months. There's a family over there. Here's a video of the guy. You see his house, disheveled, destroyed. Harush. Upside down, the guy's house. He's showing you these guys. He sends you a gentle text. Rabotai, whoever's interested, help the guy. I say to myself, what do you care? What do you care, this guy? I said, no, it's not related to you. It's your cousin? No, not my cousin. I don't even know the guy. I just got the report. Now, you would do that for a family, but if somebody would come and tell you, listen, you know, your brother is living in poverty, you'd tell the guy, what can I do for him? Tell me how I help him. How do I help the guy? My brother? Yeah, he didn't want to say he's embarrassed. He didn't pay his mortgage in 3 years. The guy's, he got his fridge and it's empty. What? My brother? What are you talking about? I can't believe it. Right away you come along and he said, how come you jumped? That's my brother. Wait a minute, I'm not going to help my brother. What should I do? Let the guy starve? Who's going to help him if a brother's not going to help a brother? So the greatness of this midah is when you treat all the Jewish people with that same concept. So then already God says, look at them. They're treating each other as if they're all related to each other. So therefore I'm going to be the same. Now the Ramak says, you actually are related to everybody. Not only biologically, because if you can trace us all back to Avraham Avinu, we know that. But the Ramak says that all of us come from one neshama. It's called the neshama kelalit. There's one big neshama. Adam and Rishon had that neshama. It's one giant neshama. Adam and Rishon was mesofa olam ve'ad sofo. That means his magnitude was so great to hold this nuclear neshama. When he sinned, the neshama got split up into 600,000 pieces. But it's all pieces of one neshama. So therefore he says, and everybody has a piece of that neshama. So imagine if you went to the store and you bought a 5,000 piece puzzle. Every piece of the puzzle is part of the same puzzle. And you need each piece of that puzzle to be part of some, to make the full picture. So he says, every single Jew has a piece of that puzzle that you are part of. So therefore he writes, indeed you are this, have the same as somebody. So what's my connection with some Jew from some far off place? What are you talking about? You have you're part of the same puzzle. His piece and your piece are equal. Oh, so he says, that's what it means in the Pasuk when it says, Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. See, how could you love the guy like yourself? It's impossible to love somebody like you love yourself. You could love somebody, you could have a fondness, but like yourself? It's asking too much. The Ramak says, and that's not the pshat. Ve'ahavta l're'acha. You know why you have to show kindness to the next guy? Because kamocha, he's like you. Because kamocha, he's like you. Well, he's like me, he's not like me. How's he like me? If you look inside the neshama, it's the same pieces. So he's kamocha. He's carrying this. So you're part of the same puzzle. So therefore what?
Thank you, sir.
That's why v'haftal l'rachad. Put a comma. Hazak baruch. So v'haftal l'rachad. Why? Put a why? Kamocha. Because he's like you. Hazak baruch. So the next time, say it in his name. Don't plagiarize his Nabotai. Nabotai. But I'll tell you the secret. And this is based on what the Ramak is teaching us today. Don't take it for granted when we see, let's say, a group like this, where we meet, let's say, every Friday and Shabbatot. There's 100, some every day. There's 100,000 people in the community, let's say. But for some reason, these 20, 30 guys, we come together often, during the course of the year, and we sit together in a haburahat. What does that mean? You think it's a coincidence? Anybody that's here, it means that in the puzzle, our pieces are next to each other. That's why you're always going to be connected to people that your neshamot are connected to.
We're talking about gay forever.
No, Gabe, you're with us, Gabe. Finished. No, but that's why, for example, your wife, that's the one you're in the puzzle that you actually connect with. You know the puzzle, that one you're connected with? Your children are the pieces underneath. Your friends are the ones around. Your neighbors are the ones around. Now, the guy in Europe, that's the corner piece. He's far from you. But it's part of the puzzle, but the ones that you wonder, there's certain people they always have connections to. The guy, he married his family, and then they live across the street from each other in Brooklyn, and then deal, they also pray. How come I'm always with these people? Whenever we go a certain way, we always end up with the same group, because the neshamot are already connected. So there's no way you can escape from those neshamot, because the neshamot are closer on the, so the ones that you're close, so that means what? I'm lucky. That means all of us were connected to the puzzle. We're in the same section. Imagine a puzzle of 600,000 pieces. It's a big, big, big puzzle. If you look at us, you'll see they make a circle. This area over here is Rabbi Mansour, all his students, all his friends, all his people over there.
You gotta be connected with the right people.
It's out of your control. It's out of your control. No, why did you connect? There's more than one right person in the world. Why did we get connected?
Not right people.
I agree. But I'm telling you that Borei Olam has it already from Shamayim. That friends are like a nasib. The family is a nasib. Now watch what I'm telling you. Oh. So when we treat Jews like our family, so Borei Olam then says, you know what? I treat them like family as well. And once he treats us like family, you get benefits. Now watch. The Jewish people are in Egypt. There's one story in Egypt that we don't speak about enough. For some reason, we go by it very quickly. Although it's probably the key. Which one? He's rubbing off on you. Sorry, he's rubbing off on you. Listen to what I'm telling you. Quit while you're ahead, honey. He's rubbing off on you. Over here, the Zohar Kadosh writes like this. That any time God wants to activate a midah, anytime that God wants to activate a midah, He brings the opportunity to us first. God says, I need to open a midah. So He presents with an opportunity for you to do it. Remember what the Zohar says, a big hadush. That anytime something is presented to you, know that God sent it to you because God says, I need to open the midah, but I cannot open it until it resonates. So you need to hit the string first. You need to pluck the string first, so then the midah will open up. So some people say, why all these people coming to me? Hashem's giving it to you because the midah is needed. And you got the job to pluck the string. They go to the concert master, they give him a violin. What do they bring me the violin for? Why? So you can play it. What are they bringing it to you for? So you can play the music. This is a very, very, very big yisod. And there's ra'ayot to this. I'll bring you one ra'aya. God says to the Jewish people when they're in Egypt, Beni Bechori Yisrael. What does He refer to the Jewish people as? You're my firstborn. Wow. Beni Bechori. God says, you're my firstborn. It's not only my child, my firstborn. That's the Hashuv. That means God says, I'm treating you like a child, like a firstborn child. All the benefits that a firstborn child has. But Borei Olam says, hold it. I need to treat you like family to get you out of Egypt. Otherwise you have no zechuyot on the 49th level. But if I can activate Beni Bechori, if I can activate this midav l'shirit nahalato, you'll get out. But without the shirit nahalato, you can't move from here. Because without the shirit nachalato, I treat you like a stranger. Stranger don't get any courtesy. Stranger, I give you the book. I go according to midat adin. So they needed shirit nachalato to get out of Egypt. So watch what happens. Borei Olam creates an opportunity. Listen to this amazing opportunity. The pasuk writes, "Vayitzu nokse ha'am b'shotrav." There was taskmasters. These were Jewish people. "Vayomeru la'am lemor ko amar paro." So says Paro, "Eneni noten lachem teben." No more straw. Till then, he provided them the bricks. Now he says, "You have to make the bricks yourself." Atem lechu kehu lachem teben. Ma'ashir temsa'u. Ki en negram me'avodatchem davar. But the output has to be the same. That means the work became measurably worse, but the output has to be the same. You say, I gotta do 10 times the amount of work and have to produce the same result. That's what it is. So the pasuk says, they went all over the place. They need to get straw. And the nuksim, mazen nuksim yud gimal, the taskmasters, they're screaming at the people, kalu ma'asechem, kalu ma'asechem, finish your job. Kashid b'hiyot ha'tevel, like it was when you had tevel. And then the pasuk says, vayuku shotre b'nei Yisrael. All of a sudden there was a group of Jews called shotre b'nei Yisrael. The way it worked in Egypt was, you had the workers, just like the Nazis in Mahshemam. The Nazis put Jews in charge of each group, and then there was a Nazi in charge of the Jews, in charge of the Jews.
So there's a guy in charge of the testing.
Mediu. So you have the Jews working in Egypt, you have a shoter, he's a Jewish guy, and then you have the noges. The shoter answers to the noges. That means, the shoter comes to the noges and says, they didn't do enough work. He has to answer back. He has to bring the report. So the pasuk writes what happened. Vayuku shotre b'nei Yisrael. The shotre b'nei Yisrael were getting hit. Asher samu aleihem nokse paro. And what were they saying to them? Madua lo chilitem chochem nedbon kedmot shel shom. Rashi writes, Rashi says over here, Vayuku. This is amazing, Rashi. Hashotrim Yisraelim hayu. V'hasim al havrehem milidochkam. They felt bad for these guys. How can we ask you to make the same output when we're not giving you the same? So it could have been done if they would have pushed them. But they couldn't push them. They didn't have it in them to push them. Knowing good and well that if they don't do the quota, who's going to get beaten? They're going to get beaten. This was God set up this situation. This is the key story of the whole Egypt. Because of this episode, God says, hold it. Why are you taking a beating for a stranger? Must be that you don't believe he's a stranger. He's kamocha. Oh, friends and family. Borei Olam says, from this story over here, now already you've just turned on the button. Nishirit nahalato. How does the end of this parasha, right here, the same parasha, two lines later, God says, "Atatid e asher esel lefaro ki biyad hazaka yishalechem ubiyad hazaka yigareshem la'alzo." Boom, activated right away. So that means that was built from the shotrim. The shotrim could say, "What do I have to? I have to get beat for this guy." He comes up to his wife. The guy's back is all hurt. His wife says, "What happened to you?" These guys, they didn't work hard enough, I got beaten. The wife tells him, "Yes, you know, you're a sucker. What are you getting beaten for these guys over there? They're not doing enough work. It's their fault, you should tell on them." Not telling them, "Hazo, they work enough hard. I should have to make it easy for them a little. So let me take a..." So only a father will do that. We saw stories in the Holocaust, the father tells them, "Kill me, let my son alive." Okay, they understand. But who's this? Borei Olam says, you treated Sherit Nahalato. Finished. I'm going to be she'erit now. Once the she'erit nahalato, now all of a sudden God says, "Beni bechori." Now you're my son again. Now you're my son. Now you're beni bechori. Beni bechori, doesn't matter what the bechor does. You give him a pass. So this is a great midah. This is a great midah. But I'll tell you, I know we're going a little over the butai, but the last Friday in deal we have, and then this class we give every Friday, by the way, in Brooklyn, Rabotai. Yeah.
Fadda.
Fadda. I think if you go on
them. They're every week with me.
It's there, of course.
You don't give him this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have a good day, man.
Yeah, don't go, don't go.
You're going to miss the punchline.
About you. So he says like this. So he says like this. He says like this. He says like this. The Gemara writes, before you start showing courtesy to strangers, the Gemara says, first you have to be mekarev your kiruvim. Mm-hmm. Understand what I just said? Mm-hmm. Some people, they're friendly with all the strangers. But the guy doesn't talk to his brother. He's fighting with his kids. He doesn't talk. But the guy's... they said, what a guy. The guy comes into the party, he kisses everybody, hugs everybody. The guy's all right. His own relatives he don't talk to. The guy is over here. Which means it doesn't start backwards. It starts first to the people that are close to you, and then you start, you move out. Always, with you. Which means all these inyanim are always, if the closer is, kola karov kodem. And then, after you're able to expand it with you, now go to the next guy. No, the guy's already feeding the Abir in Rwanda, but the guy, he doesn't talk to his neighbor.
So Rabbi, why are they doing it?
Why is who doing that?
Why are they feeding the guy in outside of their family?
That's my question, Ralph.
Does it make sense?
That's why I'm pointing it out. That's why I'm telling our fellow, our members of the class over here,
ego,
don't
ego.
Be backwards. Which means you have to start with your family. And by the way, Rabbi Matityahu Solomon says a big hadush. He says, when somebody comes to you for a job, the first one you're supposed to say is a relative of yours, if he's worthy. Which you would say, no, I don't want nepotism. I don't want to. On the contrary, you have to help your family first.
It's a headache.
You have to have, no, not even a headache.
No,
from the midah of helping your family first. So therefore, you're supposed to come along with the guy. Oh, he chose his brother because it's his brother. Said, of course, yes, I'm not embarrassed. That's why. If he's worthy, of course, you're not going to take a guy who's not worthy because he's your brother, give him a job. And you tell him, can he fly the plane? Yeah, he can fly the plane. And then whatever happens, happens. He has to be worthy.
Capable.
So somebody comes and goes, oh, look at this over here. He gave the job because it's his brother. You know what I answer? Yes, of course. Of course. I'm not like you. I have loyalty to my family. That's what you're supposed to have, loyalty to your family. Who are you going to have loyalty to? To a stranger I have nothing to do with?
Yeah,
no, I'm showing the guy who's criticizing me.
Yeah.
The guy comes and tells me, oh, you picked your brother because he's your brother? What do I answer? I say, yes. I say, you don't. You pick a stranger first. Why? Why do you have more loyalty to a stranger than your own flesh and blood? It starts with a karov karov. And then, of course, you move it out. But it's easier sometimes. Give it to another guy. Who's the guy? He's Zar. Al-Kisol al-Yashif Zar. Oh. So based on this, we see over here, just like you could turn on midot, you could also turn off midot. The pasuk says, "Ki yeshivu achim yahdav." These are two brothers. There's two brothers over here. God says, "You have a chance over here to show loyalty to your brother. He died. You have a chance now to do a chesed to your brother." And if you do this chesed over to your brother, you'll activate the midav l'sherit nachalato, and tremendous shefa is going to come down to the world. When this guy comes along and says, I'm not interested, you know what he does when he says not interested? He shuts the midah. He shuts the midah. And now, bar minan, there's deen that comes down into the world. Now, Hashem Shalom, there's already a a midah of justice that comes on. God says, you couldn't help your brother, the little favor they're asking you to do, and you couldn't even do that. What is he asking you? To take his wife. In those days, they had 8 wives. But you cannot take a chesed. You're not interested, but you'll do chesed to everybody else. If somebody else says to do me a favor, oh, you'll drop everything. You'll drop everything. Like I told you the story about Ades. There was a guy, he used to come home every night, and his wife is out in Chinese auction, Japanese auction, Korean auction. Chesed. Meanwhile, the guy, mafia akal, mafia nothing. The guy's starving to death. He went to Rabbi Ades. He said, listen, my wife, Eshet Chayel, she does chesed all day long, but I'm starving. So he said to her, write a letter and put it next to her bed. My dear wife, you're Eshet Chayel, there's nobody like you. I know a hungry family. Maybe you could put them on the list and provide the meals every night. The address, and he gives the address. The address is his address over there. The guy's name is Abraham. She looks over here, says, what is this over here? She says, what? I'm also hungry. Make believe I'm a hungry family. You give it to me also. No, the lady down the block gave birth, so you're giving her meals for 2.5 weeks. Meanwhile, the guy's eating Cheerios for 2.5 weeks. The guy's eating. Which means the chesed begins at home. No, the chesed begins with a stranger, and everybody else in the house suffers. So that's what over here, Yishvu Ahim Yahadav, you had a chance over here to open up a tremendous midah. And they tell the guy, they call him Bet Halutza Na'al. Which means not only were you choletz over here, you were choletz over here means you undid a midah, you reversed a trait. You had a chance to do something incredible. Now watch what I'm going to tell you. That's the sword of Yibum. Yibum is in order to create she'erit nahalato. Once he doesn't make Yibum over there, this ceremony over here represents the removal of a midah, the removal of the midah of she'erit nahalato. And then Chas v'Shalom, there's Gezerah. That's why there was a rabbi, and I'll conclude. The rabbi was called Rabbi Yosef Ya'betz. He wrote a Pirush on Megillat Rut. This is a big Hiddush, he says. A big Hiddush. He said, everybody's waiting for Mashiach. We see already in Egypt what brought Mashiach. When somebody took a hit for his friend, then already God says you got to get Geulah.
Right.
And the final Geulah is going to have to come the same way. The final Geulah is going to have to come the same way. When we start treating everybody kamocha, because you're equal, because you're the same neshama, then already you activate the smidah. And that's why he says, Mashiach was born from what?
That
Yibum. Boaz married Ruth.
Wow.
But who's Boaz? It's not even a brother. Ruth was a... He could come along and say, this is a fuck. Doesn't matter. She's a relative. Boaz said, family has to be given a courtesy now. But your old man Boaz is 300 years old. Doesn't matter. She's Moabiyad. There's controversy. She's family. Once when God said, look what Boaz does, not in Yibum. Look at it differently. What Boaz did to his family. Once Boaz extended himself to a family member, Borei Olam says, "L'she'erit nahalato." Now the Jewish people are my she'erit. Bring the Mashiach.
Wow!
So the mitzvah Yibum actually brings Mashiach. That's why that mitzvah. That's why there's Masechet Yibamot, because it's a big item. Yibum. It's not a small item. Make a lightweight item. And I explained it even deeper, because before Boaz, there was a Yehuda. Yehuda went with Tamar. And the Orach HaMekadosh says that was also Yibum. That was his daughter, but it was Yibum. And who was born from that? Peretz. And that's the original. So you see, Mashiach was born from what? Yibum, Yibum. Why? Because anybody that gives courtesy to his family members and makes sure that a family member doesn't fall and sustains them to a certain degree, even if it's a far member, like Boaz Tarut was far, that already brings the Geulah. And that's why this mitzvah is essential. Today, we don't have the mitzvah of Yibum per se, but the principle of Yibum already comes along. If somebody, a family member, calls you up and they say, please, we're making a wedding. Could you help us out? Listen, you know how much money I give to Israel? Israel. What's Israel to you? Kola karov karov. I cannot help. You know what you tell the guy? Bet halutz na'al. Bet halutz na'al. That's bet halutz na'al. Take off the guy's shoe. You have no loyalty to a family member. It's good to give to the yeshivot over there. But who's going to sustain? If your family's not going to sustain yourself further, who's going to benefit? It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility, like Rav Chaim Vital says, is home. And then already, like you said, it extends out. This already is the sort of Yibum Yirasom, which should be Zochet.
Wow.
Mashiach Sidken, or whatever you have. You got it.